Listen, then Jesus shouted out again. He said, and the text says that he released his spirit. At that moment, the curtain in the sanctuary of the temple was torn in two from the top to the bottom.
All right.
The text says that the earth shook, the rocks split apart, the tombs were opened, and the bodies of the many godly men and women were raised from the dead.
Yep.
Again, we're talking about access granted, but I want to tag this text with a particular title of No Pain, No Gain.
Come on,
oh, yeah.
Like somebody already in my nose. No pain,
yeah.
No gain. You ought to push your neighbor and just say, No pain,
no gain.
No gain. Don't hurt him. Just push him. Amen. Yeah. Push him like, amen. I ain't going to say that.
Amen. All right.
Listen. Nike's sporting gear has this promotional slogan that says, success is not given, it's earned. It goes on to say that success is earned on the track, success is earned on the field, and success is earned in the gym.
Yeah.
Success is earned when there is blood. Success is earned through an infinite amount of sweat. Success is earned through the occasional tear. What Nike is trying to suggest to us that is that without pain, there is and can be no gain.
All right.
Frederick Douglass puts it this way. He says, without struggle, there can be no progress.
Yeah.
So listen, whether we like it or not, the truth of the matter is that many of us have learned some of our greatest lessons in life only after experiencing some of our greatest losses.
Well, yeah.
Every trial, every tragedy, watch this, every test, traditionally yields a triumphant testimony.
All right.
Watch this. It's in your going through that gets you to where you're going to. Can I say that one more time? It's in your going through that gets you to where you're going to. Can I suggest to you today that pain oftentimes reveals a clearer perspective on the person of Jesus?
Well,
yeah, I don't like how I'm talking. I said, pain oftentimes reveals a clearer perspective of the person of Jesus. I know you don't believe me. Let me put it this way. Many of you have heard that he's a doctor.
Yeah. Right.
But only when you found yourself in the sick room.
Come on,
somebody ought to testify that he will be a lawyer.
Yes,
that's because you found yourself in a courtroom. I don't know how you feel about it, but I found him to be a father in the absence of my very own. By yourself.
Yes,
I need you to understand. Listen, I've gained a clearer perspective only after I went through some pain in my life.
Come on, Pastor.
It was the five heartbeats, Donald Duck Matthews, who said, I'm going to be a great writer only after I suffer some more. Betty Wright, some of y'all know, Betty Wright said, in order to get something, you got to give something. Somebody know the song. In order to be something, you got to go through something. In other words, she was trying to tell us, no pain. Ain't listening to 95.7. No pain, no gain. If you've ever done one push-up, you understand the concept of no pain. If you've ever worked out any time in your life, you understand the point of no pain, no gain. We want the finished product without going through the work. I need you to understand that you can't get to the gain unless you go through the pain. Only time you can experience true love is when you found a false one. Come on, somebody.
All right, now.
Let me stick to the text. Stick to the text.
Speak
Listen, the text says, then Jesus shouted.
Come on.
Yeah. The text says, then Jesus shouted. I'm preaching much better than y'all people.
You preaching that.
Already.
I'm
back 10 minutes and I'm already killing. The text says, then Jesus shouted. If anybody in history had a reason to shout, I need to suggest to you that Jesus had a reason.
Yes, he did.
If you look at the entire 27th chapter of Matthew, Matthew documents perhaps the most horrific and heinous events that's ever been recorded in the history of humanity.
Come on.
I've been back 10 minutes. I'm telling you, I'm killing. The entire 27th chapter of Matthew documents perhaps the most horrific and heinous events that's ever been recorded in the history of humanity. Listen, from the very outset of the chapter, we are confronted with the death of Judas. I know that doesn't necessarily resonate with any of you. And matter of fact, in the minds of most of you, Judas had it coming. I know you mean you bring up Judas, we could care less, but in the minds of most of us, Judas got exactly what Judas deserved. But I hate to shake up your theology this morning, but if you look over in Luke 22, Dr. Luke says in the text, he says, then Satan entered. Yeah, y'all didn't pick that in there. Text says, then Satan entered Judas. In other words, it wasn't just Judas's decision. Somebody said, the devil made him do it.
The devil made him do it.
Yeah, why don't y'all give the devil credit for doing stuff that you really want to do? You went over there cause, not because the devil pushed you, because you wanted to go. You made that phone call not because they were getting on your nerves. You did it because you wanted to. You did some stuff in your life not because the devil prompted you, it's because you wanted to. But the text tells us plainly that Satan entered Judas. He didn't do it on his own. He was influenced. Somebody said he was picked out. Just to be picked on. But let me hurry up and remind you that Judas was a man whom Jesus had literally poured himself into. For 3.5 years, Jesus lived with him. For 3.5 years, Jesus loved on him. For 3.5 years, Jesus labored alongside of him. Listen, knowing all along that in 3.5 years, he was going to lose him. Not only did he lose Judas, but he also lost Judas to the enemy. It's bad enough when you lose someone, when you lose to somebody, your arch enemy, that's worse. It's bad enough. It's some folk that I can stand losing, but I don't want to lose to them. It's bad enough that he lost Judas. Not only did he lose Judas, but he lost Judas to the enemy. Not only did he lose Judas, watch this, he lost Judas not only to the enemy, but he lost Judas for all eternity. Somebody said, that's pain.
That's pain.
So not only did he lose Judas, but according to the text, he also lost the love of those who he had labored so long for. Not only did he lose Judas, but he also lost the love of those in which he had labored so long for. Watch the text. You see, the same folk who just the other day were shouting Hosanna. The same folk who were just the other day shouting Hosanna in celebration. Are now the same folk who are hollering death by crucifixion. The same folk he had worked and wept for are now the same folk who wanted to see him whipped and wiped out. The same folk who had given himself to were now the same folk who were giving up on him. The same folk he had been praying for were now the same folk who were praying on him. You ought to push somebody and say, now that's pain. Not only did he have to deal with betrayal and the death of his friend, he also had to deal with the betrayal of his own people. And to add insult to injury, pun intended, according to the text, he was now being handed over to be beaten and belittled. I don't want to go over the gruesome details of all that transpired before the cross, but I'll just say it like the prophet Isaiah said. Isaiah says he was led like a sheep to the slaughter. That's pain. Not only did he have to suffer through emotional pain, but now he was physically in pain. So as they pressed the crown of thorns upon his brow, somebody said, that's pain. As they led him to a hill called Calvary, where they put nails in his hands and in his feet, somebody said, that's pain. Watch this, to be looked on by his mother and to be looked off by his daddy, somebody said, that's pain. To be disconnected to the pain of his mother and to be disconnected. No, to be connected to the pain of his mother and to be disconnected from the presence of his father. Somebody shout that. To endure the shame and the suffering of the cross, as though he was the right sinner, somebody ought to shout, that's pain. But I heard Paul when he says, all things work together for the people that love God and are called according to his purpose. In other words, I need you to understand that there is yet purpose. Somebody shout, purpose. There is purpose in pain. Although he knew Judas would betray him, he never mistreated him. That demonstrates his grace and his mercy. Though he knew that people would give up on him, he never gave up on them. That demonstrates his love. Even though he had to suffer the cross and be separated from the presence of God, yet he kept on pressing forward. That demonstrates his faithfulness. Listen, the plan of salvation and redemption would not be possible had he thrown in the towel. Jesus understood that his pain was packed with purpose. don't know what pains you're going through today. I don't know what pains ails you, but I need you to understand that your pain is yet packed with purpose.
Yeah.
The very things that used to pain me are now the things that push me.
Well,
the very thing that used to be a burden to me, watch it help develop a better me.
Well,
I need you to catch that one more time. The very thing that used to be a burden to me, they help to develop a better me. Theologically, it's called redemptive suffering.
Come on,
All right.
Redemptive suffering is when you go through problems and pain, and yet it becomes a benefit for others who gain. Somebody say, no pain, no.
No pain, no gain. Teach this water, Pastor.
No pain, no gain. In order to get something, you got to
heal something.
Yeah. In order to be something, you got to. But it's what you're going through that gets you to know where you're going to. No pain, no gain. I wish I had a church right there that would celebrate God.
Yes.
Because they understood that every tear that they shed was given to them. I wish I had a church who understood that every heartbreak was only when God made them into peace. I wish I had a church who understood that every broke day God was literally making you. Listen. As the sower sees, right?
Yeah.
The sower takes what he has and he gives it away. When the sower has something that he wants to keep, he doesn't keep it, he plants it.
Yeah.
He gives it away. Sometimes when you give stuff away, it's hurtful. When you really sacrifice, a real sacrifice is when you're giving something that you really don't want to get rid of. Stuff in your life that you have to get rid of. It's some people who are in your life that you had to get rid of, but I need you to understand that every tear you shed, your morning.
Come on,
you
in now. Your morning into dance. He'll give you beauty for ashes. I need you to understand that there is purpose in your pain. Although you might want to gain, you can't gain without going through something.
This morning.
The text says, verse 51, the text says, at that moment, the curtain in the sanctuary of the temple was torn in two.
Yeah.
I need you to understand, they know the text from top to bottom.
Yeah.
Temple, the curtain, the veil was split from the top to the bottom.
Yeah.
I need you to understand that the curtain in the temple served as a stopping point. It separated the holy place from the most holy place. And the most holy place was the place where no ordinary man could enter. The most holy place was God's special dwelling place amongst his people. Only the priests who were selected annually, I'm teaching now, only the priests who were selected annually were allowed to enter into the most holy place. You couldn't go to God all by yourself. You couldn't even make intercession for yourself or anybody else for that matter. Only the man of God could enter into the throne room of God and make intercession for the people of God. Whoever went beyond the curtain, watch this, was literally entering into the very presence of God. If you really understood that, you ought to give Jesus a shout right there. That's the reason why we ought to thank God for Jesus. That's the reason why we ought to thank God for Jesus. See, oftentimes we hear preachers say, I'm going to the cross. But I need you to understand that it was because he went to the cross. It was because he hung there and died on the cross that made it possible for us to go beyond the veil. It was only because he gave his life on Calvary that made it possible for us to go beyond the curtain and enter into the presence of God. It was only after Jesus suffered a while. It was only after he breathed his last. The text says it was at that moment. Somebody said at that moment. It was at that moment that the veil was split from the top to the bottom. In other words, it was because of his pain. It was because of his pain. Watch this, that we gain access to God. Somebody shout, access granted.
Thank you, God.
Thank you, oh God.
Thank you, Lord. All right.
Access.
Jesus. Thank you.
Somebody shout, access granted.
Access granted.
This means, what is access granted? This means that the barrier The barrier between God and man had been broken. That this means that the wall that separated God and me had come down. When I was little, it seemed like every candidate, I don't know about you, Ramon, but that's just what I saw. Like every candidate had though that beaded curtain.
Yeah.
Some of y'all too young know about that. Miss Hall, I know you know. They had that beaded curtain. And then you couldn't go past that beaded curtain because that's where the stock was. Whatever's in the front row when you first walked in is what you had access to. But if you go beyond the beaded curtain, it wasn't just a little stuff. It was a bushel of stuff. It was everything was behind the beaded curtain. I need you to understand that when he died on the cross, he gave you access to everything.
Thank you, Lord.
Somebody knows. The presence of God.
Yeah.
It says the presence of God is the fullness of joy.
Yeah.
In the presence of the Lord, there is fullness of joy.
Yeah.
I need you to understand that miracles happen.
Yeah. Yes, sir. Come on.
Miracles happen in His presence.
Yeah. Thank you, God.
Lives are transformed in His presence. There is deliverance in His presence. There is abundance. Help me, Holy Ghost. In His presence. Everything that you have need of. Watch this. It's in His presence. If you need a daddy, it's in His presence. If you need a friend, it's in His presence. Tell your neighbor, whatever you need, it's in His presence. That's why the songwriter said the presence of the Lord is here.
Yeah.
He said the presence of the Lord is here. What else did he say? And I'm going to give my blessing.
Yeah.
So somebody know the song. The presence of the Lord is here. And I'm going to give my blessing. Some of y'all may not know it. I need some old folks that know the song. The presence of the Lord is here. And I'm going to give my blessing. He didn't say, I'm going to get it in a little while. He said, the presence of, can you feel His presence? The presence of the Lord is here, and I'm going to get my blessing. Somebody shout right now. Say, I like Jake, but Jake says, get ready. But the songwriter says, right now. Somebody ought to shout right now. Isaiah says, in the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up.
Yeah.
And if you know the story, Isaiah goes on to say, when he saw the Lord high and lifted up, he says, wow, woe unto me, for I'm a sinner undone.
Yeah.
I'm a man with unclean lips, and I hang out with folk with unclean lips.
Yeah.
The story goes on to say that the angel touched him and purged his iniquities that he might be made clean. And it was then that God said, who should I send for me? And he said, send me, I'll go.
Yeah.
I need you to understand that Isaiah's life was transformed where? In the presence of the Lord. It didn't happen in a little while. It didn't happen after a while. It was right then and there in the presence of the Lord. I need you to get this. So the presence of the Lord is in this place. And if you want to be transformed, I dare you to back. In the presence of God, and say, Lord, here I am. Use me. Here I am. Teach me. Here I am.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your presence.
The text says, I got to move. The text says, the earth shook.
What? Yeah.
The earth shook. The rocks split.
Yeah.
The tombs opened up.
Yeah.
The bodies of the godly men and women who had died were raised from the dead.
Well.
Listen, I need you to understand that this is not just a metaphoric language here.
Yeah.
It's literal. Tell your neighbor, it's literal.
It's literal.
Matthew was not embellishing. You know, writers like to embellish. Matthew was not embellishing.
Well,
nor was he overemphasizing. This was not trumped up fabrications or fallacies. This was in all actuality a reality.
Yeah.
Listen, after he suffered a while, after he experienced the pain of the cross, after the curtain was born and torn in two, the text says that the earth shook. The rock split, the tombs were open, and the bodies of the godly were raised. In other words, not only do you have access to his presence, but I need you to understand that you have been granted access to his power.
Yeah.
Okay, Lord. I thought they were going to shout it right there, Jesus. Okay, here we go. Not only do you have access to his presence, but you have been granted access to his power. Heroes in history is Muhammad Ali.
Yeah.
I loved Ali. And arguably, Muhammad Ali was one of the greatest boxers of all time.
Well,
yeah.
He stood at 6'2", weighed in his prime 220 pounds.
Yeah.
Ali wasn't just fast. Most times his opponents underestimated his power.
Yeah. Yeah.
But as much as I love Ali, I just wish somebody would have told him that real power wasn't in his stance.
Yeah, come on.
As much as I love Ali, I wish somebody would have told him that real power wasn't in his reach.
Well,
as much as I love Ali, I wish somebody would have told him that real power wasn't in his follow through.
Yeah.
As much as I love Ali, I wish somebody just would have told him that real power was not in his flawless technique. Yes, Ali had a whole lot of victories in his career. But the last time I checked, there were some numbers in the loss column. The last time I looked at his record, there were some L's that were there.
Well,
the last time I checked, when Father Time caught up with him, he didn't have the power to overcome it.
Yes.
But the last time I checked, when sickness hit his body, he didn't have the power to heal himself. But the last time I checked, when death came knocking at his door, he didn't have the power to fight back. But I know a man. I know a man who stands undefeated. I know a man whose arm is too long for you to box with. I know a man who stands through eternity still strong. I know a man whose record is unblemished. I know a man whose power is so strong. Listen, I shook up the world, but I know a man who has the power to literally shake the earth. I know a man who has the power to split rocks. I know a man whose power can heal the sick and raise the dead. I know a man who has power and real power who got up from the grave. We're all. Somebody said
that's power.
Jesus said, watch this. And I'm going to take my seat after I tell you this.
Take your time.
Jesus said, behold, I give you power. He says, behold, when you sick, you need to sit down. When you tired and you're ready to throw in the towel, he says, behold, I give you power. When an angel shows up and says, behold, when a man of God shows up and says, behold, I need you to behold that some good news is on the way. I need you to get ready because there's some good news. He just said, behold. That was enough. When Jesus shouts himself, Joe, he said, behold, I'm stuck right there. That just shouted when he showed, watch this, because he shows up and he decides to speak with me. The man of the universe shows up and just gives me some of his attention. He shows up and says, behold.
Behold.
Watch what he said. He said, behold, I give you power. to trample.
Yes,
you know, when you get trampled, you've been to the game before. You've seen some people get trampled. When you trample over somebody, they are powerless. He said, behold, I give you power to trample over the serpents. I don't know about you, but serpents scare me. If I see a room of serpents, I'm going to try to go around it. But he said, don't go around it. I need you to understand. I give you power to step and stoop all over the head. Not only does he give you power to step and step over the serpent, he said, I give you power to tread over the scorpion. I give you power, watch this, power over all the power of your enemy. He said, I give you power to overpower the enemy. Then he said, and nothing shall by any means hurt or harm you. That's power. Be not fooled. The enemy is strong. But I need you to understand that he has no power. Because he gave you the power to step and to stop. I tell you to step. Step and stop. With the enemy, you can step and stop depression. Step and stop bankruptcy. Step and stop divorce. Step and stop heartbreak. Step. What am I trying to tell you? It doesn't matter what life is throwing your way. You got the power to kick in the door. It doesn't matter what the man is doing in your life. You got the power to kick in the door. It doesn't matter if your education don't quite stack up. You've been given power to kick in the door. I got one more point. I got to stay to the tick. Not only have you been granted access to his presence. Not only have you been given access to his power. But according to the text, you've been given access to his promises. Not only have you been given access to his presence. Not only have you been given access to his power. But according to the text, you've been given access to his promises.